Never surrender.
Oh, I see what you're talking about.
I enjoyed it too.
Remember his mum said if you're going to do it, do it properly.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second episode of season 24 of Never Surrender by the Squinners, but weirdly, the season before the start of season one, round one. As Titus O'Reilly said, Melbourne were the first team to lose a game before the opening of the season, which is pretty good job by then. My name is Needles. I am very, very excited to be here because we've got a lovely game to talk about and a very good few rounds to look forward to. You can find all our bits and pieces all over the interweb. As soon as we pay Sparrow our money to keep our website up. First, I tell you what, that slapped Ragnar Lothbrok around the face when the call went out for a little bit of money, and suddenly tight ass Tasmanians were like, whoa, hey, I'm just here for the lols. We should all pay him. Hey, Sparrow.
That'd be nice. All the listeners are welcome to pay us, of course. But yeah, that'd be nice, Squinners. Throw us some money.
That's something we've been talking about. Does it shout me a coffee or Patreon?
Yeah, buy me a coffee.
How much would you pay for this?
You can do $10.
I mean, that's a lot of money in Tasmania.
It is, mate. It is.
They're on their own currency down there.
We've got a lot to talk about, but first we're going to do obviously the classic Squinners games is what am I drinking? I am drinking because it's very hot in Canberra. A gin and tonic, but forever on brand, the Canberra Distillery Blood Orange Gin.
Oh, well done, mate. Well done.
There it is.
Tying in a little bit of orange-flavoured goodness for us.
Obviously, sugar-free tonic because solidarity for the diabetics. Right. So this is the first question. I think Rags finished his cup of tea, but I basically...
No intros.
You know, the section was for me to talk about the gin. But another cup of tea. Oh, that's good. That looked like echinacea or something like that. Was it just dirty water?
It's dirty orange water.
Pretty Lexia. Is it possible, gentlemen,
the bottom,
to be simultaneously in love in a platonic yet very, very affectionate way with 23 young men?
That a question?
Yes, I said it was a question. I let it sound like a question. My voice went up at the end and
Zoom sort of cut out the first bit, but I think you posed it to me last year. I think you do it every year, but is it possible to be platonically attracted or in love with 23 other men?
Give or take. No, young men and young extremely men. Affectionate. Like all in.
You're very specific that you want it young. This could go anywhere.
Sweaty, young, sweaty men.
All right, that looks that. We know you love
when I watch this game on replay the past couple of nights.
I agree, mate. I was watching that game thinking there is not a player on that paddock in orange that I'm not in love with at the moment. They just, they're exciting this year.
Well, so a mate of mine who was watching it, I wasn't watching it. I went up and checked the score a couple of times because we were down the coast because that's what you do on Canberra Day long weekend. Happy Canberra Day long weekend, everyone. Canberra, capital city. What a city.
Depot Beach.
You're damn right. No service. Actually a blessing. Went to look at a couple of scores. He said they're actually not playing particularly well, but they're dominating Collingwood. And I sort of scoffed and poo-pooed a little bit. There was one chain in the second quarter when Cornelio took it started with President Iden, and then he got it through to Whitfield, he got it to Cornelio, and it ended with Josh Kelly doing a lookaway hand pass to Briggsy, who gave it off.
Oh.
And it ended with the Callum Brown goal. And that was extraordinary football. But we didn't play particularly well. Like, it was a first-round game. There are a lot of mistakes. It wasn't ruthless and crisp. It was a pretty good game, and the pressure was great. But we didn't play particularly well and gave Collingwood a bath.
Where's the "we didn't play particularly well" coming from?
It was just like, it wasn't the cleanest, crispest game. There was errors, a lot of errors on both sides.
We kicked pretty well. We certainly capitalized when we got inside 50.
It really helps to kick straight. Yeah, I've always said. Good kicking is good football.
Yeah, no, that's right. And they were very bad at it. They blew a lot of chances. So that always helps. And that big orange tsunami crowd getting behind a home team certainly lifted the boys. But I didn't think we played. I didn't get that impression that you got at all. I thought we played well. Rags,
are you there?
Heard anything yet? Is your microphone working?
It is, but I'm just waiting for us to get back onto the first quarter.
He's looking at that whistle ref. Right, well, whatever. Okay. First quarter. What is it? There's not even a run sheet. What do we do? Talking about stuff? What are we talking about? Siren.
We've got issues of the week.
Issues of the week.
Let's get into it.
Okay. All right. I went too early. Never accused of doing that, for the record. For the avoidance of doubt, that's never been my problem.
Well done.
Oh, hang on. Righto. Well, you, Rags, we'll look at your run sheet. You talk amongst yourself.
He literally did that in five minutes.
I literally did that in 6 minutes, yes. So, first quarter. Issues of the week. I feel like I need a sting for issues of the week.
Mm-hmm.
If we had a musician with a guitar.
Mm, I'm going to work on that. And all right, so what I made of the first week was there was a lot of big injuries, not just our game with Big Cow Ward going down, but
he's getting up again and trying to play on with his shoulder.
I'll be right. No, mate, your shoulder's sort of the end of your knee.
Just throw it up, umpire. Just throw it up, ready to go.
Like knees got blown out. Broken bones. Was there a concussion? I'm not sure, but I'm sure there was.
Yeah, well, we had an ACL.
There was a couple of broken bones.
Brizzy lost Coleman, Kitty Coleman. Yeah. That's a huge loss. Jeremy Howe.
Sam Doherty did his knee.
Yep. Any injuries?
Sydney.
Yeah.
Not that I can remember. That was sort of one thing that I did notice. There were some big injuries and season-long injuries as well, which is quite disappointing to lose in round zero before the season even starts, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it comes down to, doesn't it? Like, how healthy your list is and the luck of the draw with injuries is, I mean, that's what it's such a huge factor in where you end up.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, okay, is that it?
Mate.
Yeah.
Look at your run sheet. We've got two more points in first quarter.
I've looked at the run sheet. I can't find it. It hasn't come up. It's not on WhatsApp.
Oh, fuck, it is on WhatsApp.
All right. You go, sir. Lead us, mate. Lead us.
Oh, sorry. So, fellas, I've got a question for you. Second issue.
Did
round zero work? My personal view.
You boys in.
It was a resounding success. Being in Sydney, it was lovely to have sport, the AFL dominate the weekend, and I think it would have been probably the Victoria would have liked the game on Sunday down at Melbourne, but I thought it was great for the game.
They will have a lot of those. Yes, I mean more football earlier. That suits me. Absolutely cracking on. And there were some good games, decent results. And yeah, you make the, like, I have a problem with it being round zero. Does anyone ever have their zeroth birthday? I don't know. It just makes no sense. But in terms of what they were trying to do, it was brilliant.
No, I definitely agree. I think there was about 60,000 people attended AFL matches in Sydney as a whole. So between our game and the Swans game, And yeah, I think it was a resounding success. There's talk in Melbourne's not happy about it, but what aren't Melbourne Victorians
ever happy about?
Happy about in terms of us getting exposure. So yeah, I think it's been a resounding success, especially with the NRL moving across to Vegas for that weekend.
Yeah, and
what have you lost? You've lost nothing. You haven't lost a round of footy, but nothing's been lost. It's an absolute winner.
The only thing I can add is one of the arguments I heard, which is quite true, we're actually going to get a second bye because of it. So we get a bye, which is like round three or four or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it's going to give us a bit of time, especially with our little bit of mounting injury list, to get some players back.
One more bye, but one less week of preseason.
Yeah.
I'd take a bye.
It comes around. Yeah, I got no problems with it. I thought it was great. Let's go, more of it. And
yeah,
the next question was the Giant Stadium the loudest it's ever been?
Well, I didn't get down there. I was very close to going, but the night games just don't suit my little lifestyle, but that's another story. I think it would have been hard to beat the Bulldogs prelim. That was a prelim, wasn't it? We lost down there. That was massive. But listening to one-eyed giant old Alex, he reckons it was the biggest he's had at Giant Stadium.
On the telly, when Collingwood kicked a couple of goals early doors, it sounded fucking really, really loud. Not as loud as when we responded, but certainly when Collingwood went big, it was massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, shout out and pat on the back to the one-eyed giant for, one, using as his sound-off, never surrender, and two, referring to NG Stadium as the beanstalk, which obviously is the beanstalk. He's our guy. He's one of us, that guy. Yeah, one of
that
us.
That was sensational.
Slightly more exposure, but he's on board.
I'm saw sure the beanstalk referred somewhere else as well, actually. Where did you see it?
No, one eyed giant referred to it. See you back at the beanstalk next week.
On his video, yeah. They also were talking about the squinters on, not us, the squinters, but squinters, Western Sydney supporters on their pod this week.
Is there, I mean, it didn't look completely full. There was quite a lot of red seats there.
What are you saying?
Saying it wasn't. I've seen more sold out sellouts.
Yeah, I reckon the Bulldogs prelim would definitely have been bigger.
Right.
But for a home and away game, yeah, that biggest Swannies game I've been to, I did go, would have been 20 before COVID, maybe 2019, 2018. There was a big crowd. It was a night game. But, yeah, having not been on Saturday, hard to know.
Still pretty good for a normal round. Well, I mean, a nothing round. For a round that doesn't even exist in time and space, that was an excellent crowd. And it was a killer game, of which second quarter will be keeping time. We've only got 40 minutes. And then when Rags cuts us down to a quick skin and bones half hour, we really need to make the most of it. the match review. Rags, you've got a few issues that you put on here. Take us through it, as Hayne would say.
Well, you touched on it before, but that passage of play where the Giants linked up from the back lines and handballs and just ran rings around the Pies, look-away handballs, Briggsy was involved. The young fella, Harvey Thomas, was involved twice because he had his kick smothered and we still got a goal. I think the tsunami at times were in peak condition. I still feel there's a lot of improvement to come.
And that interesting stat that Mungrel Punt, the Raw picked up was that we had no tackles inside no tackles inside our attacking 50 or something like that, because one at the very end because of the pressure, the two-way run was done all up the field.
Mm. And then no tackles by us, you're saying?
Yeah, in our attacking 50. Well, there was one.
Yeah, right.
Collingwood had 15 or 16 in their attacking 50. We had one.
They had 20. Collingwood had 21. We had one.
Yeah, because the pressure was done elsewhere, and he was talking about Jacob Ware running backwards and forwards, the old tackle back and stuff like that. I am going to say, and I didn't, and I've had a serious think about this, and I imagine the sneers on your faces, but it's a bit like when Roger Federer won his like eighth Grand Slam, and you start thinking eight's quite a lot. Maybe this guy's one of the greatest of all time, and maybe I'll just support him just to see how good he goes. Nick Daicos he might be one of the great top five players of all time, just in terms of the way that he uses the ball, and he's not an unbelievably athletic weapon. He can run quite fast, but he's not massive. But his ability to use the ball when he gets it and be where the ball is all the time. Kicked a goal, had the most inside 50s, had the most contested possessions, gained the most meters or something like that, had the most possessions. Like when he's not getting the ball, Collingwood are going backwards. When he is getting the ball, it's just anything is possible. It might be like this, that this next 10 years might be sort of football as art, as close as it gets, is football IQ. And so I'm going to sit back and enjoy it, despite the costume that he wears.
Can I just add to this, because it's further down my list here. I've got Stormy versus Naikos. And so I always do this comparison, tongue-in-cheek, obviously, because Stormy and Daicos is Daicos. But honestly, I'd still rather Brett Daniels.
He did play well. I wouldn't describe him as art, like Needles would describe Naikos. But I think his ass has actually shrunk a bit. You know, he's always pulling hammies. Might have just been too much glute strength, and they've just trimmed it back a bit. Got him on the treadmill, just running high endurance, low speed, shed some weight. But he looks good. Having a fit Stormy Daniels is key. He's so exciting to watch. And
it's massive, isn't it?
Oh, didn't think Snooze was good, but not as probably as impacting as he was at the end of last year, but it is only game one. But like Snooze, Stormy, and something that King has said in a press conference during the week was that the young bloke who hasn't played yet, what's his name?
Phoenix Gothard. Darcy Jones
is a hybrid between Stormy and Snooze. And if that doesn't get you excited,
it's coming.
That is going to be incredible to watch. Like, think of our small sort of high forwards. You got those boys, tackle bags playing well. That McMullen,
Callum Brown,
McMullen came on and played Wardy.
Brown, I mean, five goals, Brown.
Oh, Brown was...
My boy.
How good's his music when he kicks a goal?
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's kicking it straight too. And Jesse Hogan, early, he's good, looking good for the Coleman, as I said.
Strong mark. Yeah, he looks great. 29 this year.
Trapped. So Rowan Connolly wrote something about Brett Daniels. Is the only general forward in the competition to run elite for score assists, score involvements, forward half pressure racks and disposals over the last 2 years.
Yep, so Nick Daicos or Brett Daniels? I'm taking
forward in the comp.
Stormy.
I'm taking Stormy every day of the week. So you compare that. So say Daicos played on Tom Green, right? Tom Green, 30 touches. Nick Daicos, four. So he's only plus four. They both kicked a goal. So what? It's pretty much even. Brett Daniels tore his opponent apart. Nick Daicos did not.
I'm with you, Rax.
Well, I mean, you're totally sort of missing the point of what I said, and that's fine. That's, you know, where you're from, and it's late for you. I guess it's nearly, well, it's 9 o'clock. So it is how he does it. Like the grace and precision with which he moves is something that not a lot of players can do, which what I think will make him unique.
So you're talking more about the poetry.
To be really, really, really good and look beautiful while you're doing it, Federer style, is something that's hard to do. You won't say Stormy Daniels is a legend and his little legs pumping like absolute mega pistons, but it's not necessarily, like, that's not art.
Right. Okay.
That's very subjective.
Can I just pour a little bit of cold water on this game? So we're getting a lot of very positive feedback from the media and a lot of very positive feedback from everyone saying we are now the premiership favourites. Okay. I'm a little bit skeptical. So
this sounds like a sound effect.
The Giants kicked 18 goals, 6. We won't kick that straight again for the rest of the year. Callum Brown kicked 5 goals straight. Jesse Hogan kicked 4 goals straight. That's not going to happen for the rest of the year. Collingwood kicked 11 goals, 16. So it was 24 scoring shots, 27. So Collingwood had 3 more scoring shots and they had 7 extra inside 50s for the game. The only thing that held us in the game early was our back line, because our back line is the best in the comp. But we can't rely on our back line to dig us out of trouble every round. So I'm just pouring a little bit of cold water on and telling people to calm down a little bit.
Oh, good.
Because
you're absolutely right. The sentiment should be quite
the community.
3.14159265358979.
The saga of Ragnar Lothbrok.
Mathematics.
6264338.
Champion Data's expected scores tell us Collingwood should have won the game 92-77. The 47.5 point differential between actual and expected score is the 6th largest on record. It was made possible by the Gwiss scoring an unheard of 29% better than expected, while the Magpies fared 7% worse than expected. So out of the box game, don't get carried away.
Was that Ragnar's math that just slipped in?
That's it. Rowan Connolly literally dump quoted, cut and pasted Ragnar's maths.
There you go.
Insert the sound effect once again, Rags. Yeah, well, that is interesting. I'm happy for you to pour some water on it, but I'll just bathe in the orange Fanta and take the win as they come.
I don't rate Toby McMullen or his hair. Oh. I'm just going to put that out there and move on.
I loved him.
Tell me about Briggsy's champion data.
Ah, so another stat I listened to, as you heard from last year's episodes, so I listened to SEN quite a bit. And they have Daniel Hoyne from Champion Data on there. And Kieran Briggs, I thought he struggled a bit in the ruck. But
likewise,
according to Champion Data, he had the 6th best round, 6th best game of the round.
Yeah, he's not just for ruck.
Yeah.
Of anyone.
Out of anyone for the whole round.
What did you say? He had the what?
The 6th best game of the round.
Right. Out of all the players.
Of everyone. Not just our game, but the whole round.
He did. He started shit and he got on top. So you probably took that image snapshot in your mind early in the game.
Hmm. So that's just a little tidbit that I heard during the week.
No, don't doubt Bredzy.
That's a bit. I mean, quickly, while before we run out of time, Lachie Ash, talk about how he's under the radar.
Mm. Yeah, well, the combo between Lachie Ash and Lachie Whitfield, 25 touches, and Whitfield had 33. So what's that? 58 possessions between two halfback flankers, and they just have so much influence. And I really rate Lockie Ash's beard game at the moment.
Yeah,
and he just looks like he's really grown into a man, and he's just contributing to the team a lot more. And I feel a lot safer with the beard hanging around.
His hand.
Fellow Viking, I just feel a lot safer. No, I think he's very comfortable in his own skin these days, Ash. And I mean, having this is for the whole team. They've had a year of Kingers, his system, the new coaches, new voices, and they just look like they're just like last year was its whole little story and chapter of the whole, you know, Giants story. But this year it's like, okay, we've had Kingers for a year. We're in our own bones. We know what we're doing.
Imagine having Nick Haynes as your fourth defender.
Yeah, our depth is awesome.
Australian Nick Haynes is your fourth defender.
Yeah, depth is incredible. Our age profile is really good. Like at the draft and the trade week, we didn't go looking for players because we knew we had basically what we need. You know, Crusoe and Jace were happy with the list, and it's right. You know, it's true. So yeah, Ash is a big part of that. He's him and Witters. Whoa, and our back line. Fucking hell! How good was Buckley? Your man Buckley for the
he's all Australian. Lock him in to all Australian.
I saw Connor Iden make one mistake, which I was a bit disappointed with. other than that, I think that's the first mistake in 18 games taking in last year. But even still, he was very good. Like he's just so clean, makes such good decisions, is always in the right spot, never kicks a goal. That's so cool.
Did you see his dad?
Hey, no, what?
You said
there were two questions then.
Interview.
Yeah, I did.
He had an interview with his dad. His dad was, I think he hadn't seen his dad since maybe he was a kid or something. He lives in England. So they must have separated or something. But yeah, his dad flew over from England. I mean, the club got him out. And I think it was BT interviewed him in the sheds after the game. It was pretty emotional, actually. Very proud English father.
You would be. And Tom Green's going to be quite good this year.
Yeah, we all loaded up on Tommy for the Brownlow.
Yes.
As non-gamblers.
We've got 10 minutes to go through two sections. Third quarter, upcoming game. So the thing about the upcoming game is, so you beat Collingwood in round zero, and then your next game is North Melbourne, your third game is West Coast, your fourth game is a bye, and your fifth game is the Gold Coast. And suddenly you're looking at five rounds in and, you know, all things going to plan. Like, they shouldn't be tough games. I still don't know what Gold Coast are like.
Mm.
But that's a better start than it could. In theory, that's a better start or a better opportunity than last year.
Yeah, well, I'm never comfortable with those seemingly easy scenarios because no game's ever.
North Melbourne, it's your manufactured bogey team.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not playing in Hobart. We're playing them at the Beanstalk.
Well, they beat us there in COVID 2020. Remember, we just came back and they just toweled us up.
That round, that whole year didn't count, so it doesn't matter.
Cool. There you go. Well, that's Barrett. What to expect from the Roos this week? Ragnar, you know, you're close to North Melbourne, Hobart Central.
Well, I'm not 100% sure. Like, looking at their team, they've obviously got a lot of young talent. I'd expect there'd be at least two debutants. I'd say Kobe McKercher will probably play.
To be a debutant.
And, I reckon they'll have a couple of new guys this week. What to expect? They've got no back line, so Jesse Hogan's probably on track to kick nine. And Callum Brown might kick 12. So
they got hardcore out down the back there.
So that's what I'm expecting from the Roos. What about you, boys?
Oh, it's always a fucking, you know my feeling on that game. It's the bogey game. They always lift. They don't have that tough nut. He retired, didn't he? What was his name? In the midfield. It was like their bull.
Big guy. Who left?
I think he'd gone. So it's all good. No, we're fine.
Zeebel.
No.
Yeah, Jack Zeebel.
No. The other shaved head bloke. Like Cunningham. Cunningham. Is he still playing? Oh, we're good then. No, Sheezel will be good. You know, this is Clarkson's second year. He didn't really get to coach last year, so who knows what he's got up his sleeve. He was, of course, the genesis of the Clarkson curse at the Gold for many, many years. So can pull a rabbit out of the hat. That was the year we made the grand final. So who knows what he's got up his sleeve. But, yeah, here they got Sheezel. Zeeble's gone, hasn't he? He's retired.
Wardlaw.
They've got Nick Larkey, is it?
Is Simpkin playing, I wonder?
Nick Larkey.
Who's the ruckman these days for them? Oh, big Goldstein's jump ship.
Goldstein's got it, isn't
he? Yeah. Oh, it's young bloke. But yeah, we should tell them. Bottom line is we should tell them up. It's a 4:30 game. We love that time slot. Sad Diabo. I'll have the little sparrow with me, hopefully. And the boys.
Oh, that's right in your hitting zone.
Yeah, that's in my hitting zone, definitely. I think the boys will be up and about for it, coming off the back of a good win last week.
Can I just ask, who's going to replace Callum Ward?
Yeah. McMahon. Well, Petrol's good to come back in.
Yeah.
Callaghan, after having stepped on a nail at the beach, is facing a late fitness test.
What sort of beaches you got in Sydney?
Mate.
You got nails down there.
Down in the east. Fucking hell. At least it wasn't a needle.
I mean, if Callaghan had come in for Ward,
it's pretty tasty.
Yeah. Petrol, the like for like, but yeah, Callaghan will be slotted in for sure if he's up and about.
Our reserve on ballers.
Well, it's mainly the younger crew now. I was just thinking that before, but positionally. Our midfield, we get a little bit shallow after Cornelio, Tom Green, Josh Kelly. We've got Josh Fahey. Harry Rowston.
Oh, Rowston, yeah.
So those guys would have played in a practice match or something, I think, before our game. I haven't heard anything about it, but... Whether we slide a Stormy Daniels up into the midfield to have a bit of a run around or even snooze because he barely touched the ball last week, he's probably due for a bit of a run around.
I thought X played well.
You
blokes
Episodes
of X.
Agreed. I like him.
He's hitting a good age now and he's a good player. He's a good... Good. I think is he playing a bit more on the wing this year?
Yeah.
Well, it's been one game, so it's a fairly small
sample size.
I like him. He feels like a kind of player you could give him a task and he'd be able to pull it off.
Yeah.
And especially because he's grown in. What is he now, Xavier O'Halloran? He's turns 24 this year, so he's probably fully built now, fully grown, and he'd be a good run with guy, I reckon. Not that North really have a midfielder that we probably need to target, but maybe to keep up our sleeve down the track.
Yeah, I love X. Big year for X.
Come on.
Have we forgotten any other players there that just played bloody well and we've just missed him. I mean, Tobes kicked that check side banana. That was nice.
That was pretty unsighted as well.
Yeah. He had old mate on him. Collingwood defender. Maynard, he's bloody good.
I thought Cadman looked all right.
Cadman looks, that's it, Cadman.
All right, yeah.
What do you think about Cadman in the ruck? Like, I know he was up against he was up against their second ruck in Mason Cox, and he's not going to have he's not going to be rucking against a giraffe every week. So, I reckon he gets his hands on the ball,
gets involved.
Good
for his confidence. I think it's a great
move. The other guy I reckon we could flirt with doing it with is Callum Brown.
Yeah. He's done it before.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cads is looking good. Cads has obviously put on some muscle. He's just been pumping on all summer. He's got a bit of swagger about him, a bit of confidence. He kicked a goal. Did anyone pick up what his song was? You know, they've all got songs now when they kick goals.
Yes.
I didn't catch.
No. Oh, was it Beautiful
Someone had
Day?
A real lame one. Someone had like Beautiful Day by U2.
I think that's what it was.
Who was U2?
Beautiful Day.
Which play is that?
Cadman. I think it was Cadman. Oh. Did It Was a Beautiful Day by U2.
Come on. You're better than that. Let's
move on. I just want to give a quick shout out.
With 2 minutes to go.
Let's give a quick shout out to the new podcast by Alex Williams, our boy. They Might Become Giants. Just started 2 rounds in. That's been a good listen.
2000s reference.
Yeah. So that's been a good a good listen. Patreon called out.
I really hope. I'm looking forward to when he does something original, Alex. It'll be tremendous to listen to, or you know, observe or watch. But nonetheless,
two creatives going at it. I love it.
Yeah, I just can't wait. Hey, there's a cool thing to do. Maybe I'll do that as well. I mean, speaking from someone whose only talent is to adapt to other people's ideas, I completely get what he's doing.
It's really
exhausting, Alex.
I just want to say that the other podcast that has just started, The Green Room, which is impossible to find on Spotify, terrible name, The Green Room. Yeah. But The Green Room claimed to have had the biggest Giants podcast last week. And boys, you need to check the stats because I tell you what, Richmond Grand Final, Never Surrender by the Squinners had some pretty big numbers. So you haven't quite reached those peaks just yet.
Right, fuck yourselves.
Hey, I just want to give a quick call out to our listeners.
30 seconds.
A quick call. I just want to know who they'd like us to interview this year.
Okay.
So hit us up.
Bubs? Dr. Nangs?
Never surrender.
Never surrender.
Coco, never surrender.
Hardest working player, maybe Coniglio.
It might just be an oversight, but here's a chance to get it right. It's Coniglio.
And Coniglio's had 13.
for Stephen Canelio for another.
Hang on, we got him because he told us he's a music producer. So he's finally paying his dues.